I always love this quote from Adolf Hitler, which was it's called he was a big believer in what's called the big lie, which was you can tell a if you tell a lie and it's big enough and you say it often enough, people will believe you. And the victor will never be asked if what he said was true. So if I lie about everything I'm saying and I win, it doesn't matter because no one will question me.
Whatever she's going through right now, I'm still wondering if she's in any kind of like denial, if she still thinks somehow she's not going to go, which wouldn't be unrealistic for her to feel like that right now. She might still think there's some way for her arsenal of attorneys to get her out. She's probably very frustrated that she's going. She probably did not think she was going to go. There hasn't been somebody that I can think of that's been such a big name that seems so innocent and harmless.
Hey, this is Matt Cox, and I am here with Dan Wise, also known as RDAP Dan. Dan is, go with an expert in sentencing and helping to get people's sentences mitigated or get downward departured on their federal sentence. And we are talking about Elizabeth Holmes, and we're gonna go over a little bit about, you know, basically the case in general and what caused it to be fraud and how she ended up with a slightly higher than 11-year sentence, which I think is unreasonable, but only in comparison to other sentences. And we're going to figure out exactly what happened and why it happened. And we're going to talk to Dan right now. So I appreciate you guys checking out the video.
Look like a guy that knows about sentencing.
Okay. No, we've done a bunch of videos and stuff. And so we know each other, and that's just for people that don't realize that we know each other. I was in Coleman, and I went through the RDAP program, and you went through the RDAP program, and we've had several discussions on it. And I asked Dan if he'd do this video.
That is all true. That is all correct statements, Matt. I concur this far.
So, Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos.
Yep.
She got 135 months, something like that. Basically,
just over. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just over 11. She got 11 years and change. So the company. So I guess what I wanted to kind of talk about, and it's funny, I've actually talked about this before. I think I've talked about this before on, might have been Concrete or something. This is when it was all kind of happening. Like we talked about it briefly, but I think I talked about it with Juan too. And you know, her whole thing. So Elizabeth Holmes went to Stanford for what, like a semester, and dropped out. She's from a family that's, you know, that's wealthy. Grew up in a wealthy upper middle class neighborhood, went to Stanford, decided while in Stanford that she wanted to start a medical company. What she wanted to actually create altered, you know, changed a few times. But eventually it became, she wanted to create a system that would allow you to take a drop of blood, test that blood, run it against 200 different tests. That you could do from the privacy of your own home, or your doctor could do right there in his doctor's office. And it would give you the results within whatever, 20 minutes to an hour, and would allow you to have a glimpse of what's really going on with your body, and allow them to very quickly diagnose, you know, whatever issues you were having at that time. And she thought that that was possible. However, every expert she spoke to said, it's not possible. And in her mind, well, then that just means that the technology hasn't been created yet. Right. I need to start this company. We'll create that technology. And through a childhood or a neighbor that she kind of had grown up with, she got some initial seed money, started the company, dropped out of Stanford, and started raising money.
And she was very, very young at this point.
Very young. She started the company. She was 19.
Yep.
And then she slowly started taking on a persona of that mimicked Steve Jobs, which you know, to me was is odd. Like, she's a pretty girl.
Yeah.
I think she's a pretty girl. I think, who was I talking to? Talking to someone else about it, and they were like, "Oh, bro, she's not pretty. She's homely." And I think she's attractive.
Yeah. I agree. Some guys just don't like that I don't know. I wouldn't call it a boring look, but it was, I don't know. She wasn't putting like 3 pounds of makeup on and Botox, and she was just she was relying on her voice to get her
life. Yeah. That was the thing. She deepened her voice.
She did deepen it, right? I think I read that.
Oh, not just that. They have clips of her where she had maybe had a few drinks, or she was in the middle of a conversation and she would drop it. She dropped the deep kind of baritone voice, and suddenly her voice would go from this to, "So, you know, we're really excited about this." And she'd be a normal girl for like 30 seconds and then it'd come back. And they've talked to childhood friends and family members that are like, "Yeah, I don't know what's up with her voice. Why she doesn't sound like that." Like, they would say, "She doesn't sound like that. This is an act."
Maybe when she gets released from prison, the full transformation will be done, and she will be Bill Gates. we don't know.
She what else? So let me keep going, just for people that don't understand. I don't know how you couldn't know about this, but
I think a lot of people don't know about it. It's boring unless you care about these things.
Well, I think the problem is, and you mentioned this earlier, is that most of these people will raise money and they just go nuts, right? But she didn't. She worked 80 hours a week.
Yep.
She genuinely believed that this technology could be created and she would be able to come up with this machine. And it was the whole fake it till you make it thing.
Right. Which has been kind of the pivotal point and the pathway throughout Silicon Valley for generation after generation. I think that's part of the, when this whole thing kind of hit the ground and we were wondering if she was going to be found guilty or not guilty on both sides of the spectrum, all of the men that have gone through Silicon Valley that have kind of faked it till they made it, I think they wanted her to get away with it because now it's just going to open up. Now, every time somebody comes in with a groundbreaking technology or software with claims, because she raised
almost
$700 million and had a $10 billion valuation on her company with false claims. But they're saying there's been a lot of things that have happened similar to this case throughout the decades. The problem is eventually most of these individuals, unlike her, were able to actually create the technology. So before anything got too far out of control, they were able to actually have whatever it is they were trying to do. She never got that far. But now on the flip side, the people that wanted her to be found guilty are because they want a tighter microscope on industries and big tech companies that pop up that are collecting, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars in investors' funds.
Right. It was kind of like the FTX thing where it's like, you know, nobody did their due diligence. And that's the big thing with her company is, you tell me your hedge fund lent her $80 million or $200 million or $20 million. Nobody did any due diligence. You allowed her to give you paperwork that said the company was worth this much and that you had you understand, she told them they had, when she borrowed money from or was doing her different pitches, she would tell them that the technology and her machines had already been had been deployed in the field with the US military. That wasn't true.
Right.
She faked demonstrations. And you know who's literally set up the machines, had investors come in, they'd prick their fingers, put the blood in the machine. Then she said, "Well, here, let's go and have lunch. Go have lunch." They'd run the fucking samples. Then when they came back, they go, "Oh, here's your results." And they go, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing."
Yeah. But
the blood wasn't ran.
No. And you got to remember when you were talking about the beginning of this, you know, this wasn't just for like doing your blood panels. This was supposed to revolutionize knowing like if you potentially have cancer, if you were going to have dispositions, this thing was supposed to roll out, was supposed to give you such a bird's eye view of like the schematics of your entire system. So you could potentially cure yourself well before there was any seriousness. So it was a very easy sale, I think, for investors. And if you look at a lot of these pitches that came, a lot of the people that were backing, Like a lot of these people that gave their money weren't just giving it to Elizabeth Holmes. The individuals that would go out and do the pitches that have recommended a billion other companies in the past, they were the ones that were endorsing this. So they're like, oh, well, if Dave says this is good, we've gone on Dave's, you know, hunch a million other times. Let's jump on board. It was a very easy money grab.
Yeah, I was going to say and look, the concept is, you know, it's a brilliant concept, you know, if it worked.
He built some of the nation's largest banks out of an estimated $55 million because $50 million wasn't enough and $60 million seemed excessive. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't typically commit crimes, but when I do, it's bank fraud. Stay greedy, my friends.
Support the channel. Join Matthew Cox's Patreon.
I think it will work. Maybe not, obviously not through Theranos, but if nobody was pushing this technology before, Jesus, now first person to get to this probably be bigger than going to the moon, because the first person that actually has this now, we're probably going to see a whole nother giant news month about her years from now when this technology really does exist.
Well, I watched a video on a guy who came up with a company that does something very similar. Now, they're not saying we can do 200 tests. They're saying it can run about 30 tests,
right,
on these diseases. And he lays it out. And then he says it doesn't go on one pinprick of blood. He's like, it is. You do need, and I forget what it was. It was like 15. You need 15 little things of blood. Like he had a whole thing. He's like, but the technology, it's still semi-based on what she was hoping for. But she was promising these outrageous
superhero type stuff, like,
yeah, you can't do it. And this is all of these different, think about it, all these different people are saying, like, these are experts, these are scientists are saying that's not possible. And of course she would mock them by saying, well, that's what they're doing, they're mocking me. And that's what they do, they mock you until eventually you change the world
or you show the proof, right? Do you think she would have been as attacked if she had been a man?
No, if she had been a man, I think it would have been worse.
I thought you were going to say if she'd been a man, she probably would have figured it out. I was like, please don't say that.
Here right now, Dan.
I don't know. I believe if she were a man, there wouldn't have been. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I had it. Who's the reporter that is the one that outed her?
The guy from Bloomberg. Not Bloomberg. It was
Cario or something like that.
The Wall Street Journal guy.
Yeah, I forgot his name. Cario or something. His last name is. I don't know. I feel like just because when you look at a lot of these other people that were in similar situations to her that never really got dragged through the mud, but if you go back and look at some of the artifacts through the time, the timeline of when they were creating a lot of the stuff that's out today. When they were getting this money, they hadn't figured it out yet. Okay. I don't know if they lied, lied, so they did. But
Steve Jobs faked multiple presentations. When Apple, like the night before they were rolling out like some of the software and some of the computers, when they were they're starting to manufacture these things, the software still didn't work.
Didn't exist yet in its functioning.
They're writing it that night. They're changing things the night before they're going to be loaded up. I mean, right. So.
But was there, you know, hundreds of million dollars collected to do this? And
ultimately, it did work.
Right. Yeah.
So that's able the problem. To produce. And also, if your computer doesn't work, like you don't die, you know, or you don't start getting treated for cancer or getting treated for, diabetes, because you think suddenly you're diabetic. And one of these guys was like, it said he was diabetic.
Yeah.
You know, he's ready to go to his
people could have gotten all, I mean, they could have received the wrong treatments, the wrong medications. Yeah. How do you think she let it go? So how do you think she let it get so far out of control?
She was
too far gone in there to stop. It would have just would have been the admission of guilt would have been too drastic at that point.
I think I honestly think that once she was on that road, she couldn't get off. And I think at some point in time, she had to have known, after spending several $100 million and hiring some of the brightest people out there, that they were telling her it just couldn't be done. And she's continuing to pump in money. I think at some point she must have realized that this, that it can't be done, but I can't turn around now because the whole thing goes. So now I need to try and keep it going as long as possible in the hopes that technology catches up to my dream. Now, I think that makes her, I think what happens is that's like finding out halfway through, you know, an investment that it's all a fraud. You know what I'm saying? It's like you start up, you become an investor in a Ponzi scheme, and halfway through the scam, you realize it's a scam. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now you can either say, I'm going to go to the authorities and I'm going to lose my $2 million or $5 million that I've invested, or I can try and help raise more money for the scheme and pull my money out.
Right. Pump and dump.
Right. At that point, you're now one of the scammers.
This turns into just a big old Ponzi.
And that's what I think happened here. I think halfway through, she probably said, hey, you know, we've got this Walgreens. We're pitching Walgreens.
Yeah. I think she thought she could buy enough time to figure it out.
Right. Right.
I don't think she ever intended just to leave it the way it is. I think she really believed she was going to be able to figure out the recipe to mom's.
Which probably explains her extremely light, what I consider a light sentence. But
you think she feels that way?
Oh no, she's a privileged white chick that thinks that. To be honest with you, I also think she got to that point where, well, one, like I said, she probably decided I'm just going to keep going forward in the hopes that it will work out. But I also think that her starting this company at 19 years old, her saying this technology can be created, her lying multiple times saying they had a working prototype, that it was working and the technology works. We've got Pfizer has signed off on it. It's already being used by the U.S. military. But these blatant lies, I feel like even as a kid, she had to have always kind of been a
little scared in the back of her mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the very least, it's got to keep you up at night, you know, because eyeballs were on her like super glue.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's so funny when she finally got to the point, right? So after she starts faking these trials and the money really starts coming in, and she gets the money from Walgreens. Walgreens gave her $140 million to put these machines in, for an exclusive deal to put the machines in their stores.
Right.
Suddenly, then she comes out on CNN, on CNBC, Fox News, Forbes does a massive article, Fortune does a massive article. She was worth, then of course they come out, they say she's worth $4.5 billion.
Yeah, she was the youngest female supposed billionaire at that point.
I mean, I think she hit that road and she just couldn't turn back. And like I said, she was hoping that she would be able to pull it out. So, or pull it off, pull it out, pull it off. What I'm wondering about is, so eventually it all goes down, right? Like, so eventually her whole thing falls apart. This is after years. So this is like she's run this company for what, like a decade?
Yeah, this was a very long process. It was 2014, 13?
$700 million.
Investors would result in $10 billion valuation. And this was 2013 and 14 throughout the fraudulent claims of what this testing equipment. Yeah, so I mean, this is the type of money she was raising back then. It really did take a long time.
Well, so she eventually that there's an article comes out in the Wall Street Journal, and it says that there's some serious problems with the machines. There's some the technology doesn't really exist. Nobody really understands how this is happening, and people start asking questions, and the whole thing starts to fall apart. She's indicted in July of 2018. There's a couple superseding indictments as they really look into the paper, look into it. And then eventually, here's what kills me. She went to trial. Why do you think she went to trial? because, you know, they'll stack the charges, right? She's indicted on like 4 counts of wire fraud for deceiving investors. But she could have gotten something like, was it like 40 years or something? 40 or?
Yeah, she was. I mean, if you look at, I don't have the I don't have Pacer in front of me right now. But if you look at the charges that were dropped, or that, I'm sorry, not dropped, that she was not found guilty on. I'm not sure what her initial, if she was offered a plea agreement, I'm not sure, I don't know if you have it in front of you, but what her charges that she could have pled to. I think it's very similar. I think her being found guilty is almost exactly what she probably would have. I don't think she risked much because she's ending up at about the same. So in her case, why not go to trial if you're only looking at this type? I think her attorneys knew what could stick and what couldn't stick. And as you know, a lot of times when the feds come after you, they hit you with everything, hoping you take a plea deal. And when you take a plea deal, they'll drop a lot of those charges that probably wouldn't have stuck going through trial. She spent enough money on enough high-priced trial attorneys, not just criminal defense federal attorneys, some trial attorneys that knew there's a good chance that the feds are going to drop or not drop. A lot of this won't make it to a guilty verdict in trial. And knowing that, the guidelines of what she was going to be found guilty of by the jury was probably not that different of whatever a plea agreement would have been. So in her case, it was like, you might as well see if you can knock some more stuff off and maybe you can get them to feel bad for you because you were, you know, a young female that was taken advantage of by an older business tycoon.
Right, right. Yeah, that was her whole defense. Was
that was her whole defense, yeah.
Sonny
Ball. Sonny. Yep.
Took advantage of her, and he was the one who was a bully, and he was pushing the button or pushing.
Maybe he was. We don't know, but that's. I don't think that's an excuse to, because clearly she wasn't a ditzy, naive, dumb person. She's very, very smart. She's, you know, you can't get compared to Bill Gates in one sentence and go, oh, I was a helpless female in the other sentence.
Right, right. And look, it's not like this guy was right there with her all the whole way. Okay, and here's the funny thing: is like at some point she fired him.
Right.
So you fired him and kicked him out and he can't even come back in the office. So how much danger were you in?
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what his sentence is.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I mean, typically here's the problem is that typically what happens is the feds will come to you and offer you, like, I know, I can't tell you how many guys I know that are in prison. Andrew Levinson, I've mentioned him on different podcasts. There's a guy, Donovan Davis. There's multiple doctors that I've known for pain clinics that like they come in and the feds have offered them like 3 years and they're like, I'm not fucking taking 3 years. I didn't do anything wrong. And then they go to trial and they get 19 years or they get, you know, 17 years. Like Donovan Davis, they were offering him a few years and he ended up with 17 years. Andrew Levinson ended up getting, I want to say 16 or 17 years, and they were offering him 3 years.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times it doesn't go that way.
No, you're right. Right.
You did have good attorneys.
I think a lot of times, though, I've had a couple clients in the consulting. We had one that he was a pill mill doctor. His sentence ended up being, I think it was like 65 years. It was a chunk of change. But the plea agreement he was offered prior to sentencing, about a year before he was sentenced, he went to trial, obviously. It was like a 7 or 8 year plea agreement, which still 7 or 8 years sounds like a long time. The thing that it seems like the defense missed in this guy's, not Elizabeth, but my client's situation, was there seemed to be a really, really strong presence of mental health issues that weren't really being touched on. It was almost like he could not grasp the weight of what was happening, of the severity of it. Like when we were telling him, like, you go to trial, you're going to lose. I mean, everybody's attorneys, everybody. And he was just, I'm not guilty. And it's like, he was guilty of some stuff. I don't think he could, 7 years sounded like too long. And then when he got sentenced to 50 something years, sure enough, it's my attorney didn't do this. My attorney didn't do that. And it's like, it's sad to watch. Cause it doesn't happen that often. Most people will end up, it's not like you get in trouble today and you're facing 50 years. I'm like, we'll take a plea deal and we'll only give you 10. It's not like it happens in an overnight process. To tell anybody that's never been in trouble before, if they get in trouble today, Like, well, if you sign a plea deal tomorrow, you only do 5 years. 5 years doesn't sound good, no matter how much time you're looking at.
Yeah.
But when time goes by and you've been dragged, this case has been dragged on for a year, 18 months, 24 months, you start to realize 5 years still sucks, but there's going to be a life to live after five, where there's not much of a life to live, at least mentally, after 20, 30, 40 years. So when these people are faced with this and time does go by and that doesn't click, you got to wonder, like, what's going on in your head? There's no way you're so proudful. There's something else there preventing you from taking the best possible outcome. And some people just won't do it.
Well, I think I remember being locked up in Georgia with this guy who had ran a hedge fund, lost like $15 million, you know, and he was just like, he couldn't get out of bed. He didn't want to take a shower. He was depressed. He was, and guys were like, bro, what is his deal? You know, he's going to get, they were offering him like 5 or 10 years. And the problem was, I was like, well, you know, you have to understand how far he's fallen. He doesn't know anybody. Like, you're taking private jets, you're taking vacations, you're living in a $2-3 million house. You're living up here to suddenly having to go and spend 5 or 6 years in a federal prison. Like, he's fallen a lot further than anybody else sitting in this pod right now.
Right.
So it takes a while for it to sink in. You know,
it takes time for that to digest into your, I can live with this bank.
Yeah. I think if they arrest you right away and throw you in jail and you don't get bonded out, you come to that realization a lot faster than you do sleeping in your own bed, having sex with your wife.
You lived because you were taken from the time that you got in trouble, right?
Never got probation. I mean, I never got let out.
Right. So I'll tell you, I was on supervised release, or whatever you want to call it, pre-release supervision.
It's
been so long, I forgot what it's called. And you would think, this is what I tell people, you think because you're out and free that you think you're better off being out versus the person sitting in county jail waiting. And yes, you are, to an extent. Yes, all those things you just said are true. But at the same time, there's this mental prison, dude, that is so, because you're living in this, what seems to be a free world, but yet, like, your buddy might say, hey, we're going to go skiing next week, or we're going to go camping next month. You can't make any choices that are further than like 30 days out, because you don't know where your life's going to be. So you're partly in this free world with this daunting, you don't enjoy any of it, is my point. You're sitting at home trying to enjoy sitting on your couch. Now, when you finally do, like in my situation, when I finally did self-surrender, got sentenced, turned myself into prison, I've been out from 2011 until 2014. When I got to prison, to Coleman Federal Prison, it felt like the worst place in the world, because comparing it to my couch.
Yeah.
People that are sitting in county jail for the last 18 months, they get to federal prison. To them, it's almost like they're being let free to an extent, because you're not going from your chill house to federal prison, you're going from shithole to federal prison. So there is a psychological fuckery on both sides of that.
Yeah, guys, I couldn't understand when we were in the county jail, guys were like, man, I just want to be sentenced and go to prison. And I kept hearing it, and I was like, why do you keep saying that? Like, in prison worse than this? And they're like, are you serious? Bro, this is the hardest time you'll do in the county jail or in the U.S. Marshals lockup. They're like, bro, you don't understand. As soon as you get to jail, like, you can go to prison, you can go to commissary, yeah, you can get ice cream, you can drink coffee.
You're not behind a prison cell anymore. You're not hearing the doors clank.
Everybody kept saying, like, bro, you don't understand. It's a small city. Like, you're going to be in like a town. Yeah, it's a town filled with criminals, but you can do stuff. You can go to the library. You can go work out. You can join the band. You can learn to play an instrument. Like, they were like, they made it sound like a shitty summer camp, but a summer camp just the same. And listen, in a lot of ways it was.
And that's why I don't know. Like, we all know the media boasts things out of control for headlines, for ratings, subscriptions, clicks, all that stuff. But CBS News, judge who sentenced Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes recommends she serve her time in a prison camp. And of course, camp is in parentheses. People that don't know, that read this, they're like, this is not fair. She should spend her time. And just because she's rich and famous doesn't mean she should go to some fancy club fed.
It's not fancy.
I know, but why you, but what do you think this headline, that's its only intent is to make it think she's going to go to somewhere else that other people wouldn't go committing similar types of crimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Bryan, Texas, I think is where she's been recommended to go to.
He once conned Bank of America out of $250,000 using nothing but a fake ID and his charm. He is the most interesting man in the world.
I don't typically commit crime, but when I do, it's bank fraud. Stay greedy, my friends.
Support the channel. Join Matthew Cox's Patreon.
First of all, the judge's recommendation, you know, they listen to it, but it doesn't mean you're going there.
Correct.
The BOP is
going to. But we do know she's going to a prison camp.
Yeah. Well, also she didn't kill anybody. She's a nonviolent crime. So.
But that's what people need to understand. Explain that to people that are watching right now. That who else would go to a prison like hers? It could be the lady living next door to you, working at Walmart, who, you know, over the last 10 years pocketed some money from the register.
Yeah.
She ended up going to the same place. She could be Elizabeth Holmes' bunkie.
Right, right. And you know, here's the thing. Like, back to her sentence, right? She got 11 years. So let's just talk about the sentence. So when she got sentenced, the probation officer, which does your pre-sentence investigation report, right, which is it's a report that takes everything into account and recommends to the judge what your sentence should be.
Right.
So they go and they investigate, or they talk to Elizabeth, they talk to her lawyer, her friends, her family. They look at what she was found guilty of, because some of the charges she was acquitted of, which were the charges where it was conspiracy to endanger the life of patients or something. They dropped those charges because they said that the jury didn't believe that was her intent.
Right.
Because the one thing during the trial that came out was she did a very good job, and her team or her attorneys did a very good job explaining that she wasn't a scam artist, although I think she was a scam artist. But they were basically saying, look, she thought she could borrow this money. She thought she could create the technology. She thought this was going to be a viable company and system. She really genuinely wanted to change the world, and she never meant for any harm. Did she lie? Obviously, she lied about some things. Many, many entrepreneurs lie to further their agenda. But ultimately, when they pull it off, nobody questions them. Nobody questions Steve Jobs about all the bullshit that he pulled
right
in Apple. And you know what? This is funny. I'm going to give you this quote. I always love this quote from Adolf Hitler, he was a big believer in what's called the big lie, which was if you tell a lie and it's big enough and you say it often enough, people will believe you. And the victor will never be asked if what he said was true. So if I lie about everything I'm saying and I win, it doesn't matter because no one will question me. And that's true. You know, I mean, I'm sorry to be quoting Hitler, but you know, it's true. And that's her whole thing. Like, I can lie and cheat and steal, but if I ultimately pull it off, nobody will question how I got here.
Right.
And that's true. So I think that's the.
She was just hoping she got there before the investigation got there.
Yeah, hers fell apart way before she got there. Yeah. But and so now they are questioning, and that's where it all falls apart. But ultimately, she was acquitted of some charges, and then the probation officer created a pre-sentence investigation report, which said they wanted to give her like 9 years. They suggested 7 to 9 years or something.
And that's because there's discrepancy with money losses and everything else. So when they did the calculations on the same calculations that the government did, they came up with different, a little bit different guidelines. Right. But she had put her guilty plea. That's why the judge kind of like jumped in the middle of that. He wasn't giving the government what they wanted. He wasn't giving her what she wanted.
Right.
I don't think the sentence was unfair. I mean, I don't know how much more time she should have got for what she was found guilty of. her guidelines just, you know, if you'd been found guilty on everything, then it would have been a different, probably complete. But also, you know, I think I can't remember. I think the government wanted a lot of this to run concurrent, consecutive.
They wanted 15 years. The government recommended 15 years to the judge.
Right.
The judge said 11.
11, because of what the government was basing theirs on and what the pre-sentence report came back with. Obviously, the defense wanted to go with the pre-sentence report because it was better for them. So I think the judge just split it and gave everybody a little bit of what they wanted, which is pretty common.
So, I mean, and listen, honestly, like, to me, bro, I mean, look, I got 26 years and 4 months. I never say the 4 months because I don't want people to think I'm whining. 26 years and 4 months for my pre-sentence report actually said $9.5 million in loss.
Right.
The night before I tried to take my plea back, I said I was not going into court because my actual pre-sentence report said 32 years to life, 30 years for the bank fraud, which was the maximum they could give me, 2 years for identity theft for $9.5 million in loss. So I wanted to take back my plea agreement. They came to me and they said, look, here's what we'll do. We'll say not $9.5 million. We'll say less than $6 million. Right. So, you know, $9,999,000, you know.
Right.
So I was like, they said, and that will bring you to like 26 years. And then they dropped one other charge or two other charges or two other enhancements, which were like bullshit. But so I pled guilty to 26 years and 4 months for $6 million in fraud. She was found guilty. Now, granted, she wasn't charged with bank fraud. The maximum she can get is 20 years on wire fraud. She was found guilty of 4 counts of wire fraud. You went to trial. You didn't say, you never said you were sorry. You never said you fucked up. You never said it was a scam. You've never taken responsibility. And I hate to say, bro, I'm torn. I want to say 20 years. She should have got 20 years. But I also think, look, you give her 20 years. Like, what do you give somebody who rapes someone? Like, what do you get? You know what I'm saying? So
I think it's important, though, Matt, not to look at it in comparison to apples to apples. That's the problem is, you know, you got the sentence. Do you think your sentence was fair or do you think it was a little?
No, I think I should have gotten 10 years.
OK, that's what I'm saying. But do you think a lesson for Elizabeth Holmes? Do you think it's going to take, do you think whether she was given 11 years, do you think she's going to learn something in 20 that she won't learn in 11?
No.
I get what you're saying. And I think punishment is just too stiff across the board in general. I don't think honestly, I think you could give somebody like her 5 to 7 years and they would probably never do what they do again.
She's never raising money again. Nobody's ever given her anything again.
Be fucking surprised, bro. There might be, you never know what comes out of all of this. You've seen crazier stuff too. That will be a fun episode 10 years from now when she gets her next billion. But the sentencing guidelines and they're so high and they're very backwards. Like if she would have murdered somebody, she'd be looking at not too different of a sentence. Getting caught with a little bit of drugs, she'd be looking at the same type of sentence. But when you start to do things like what you were doing, when it's like not the white collar fraud, it's more the blue collar. You're like the guy with the bandana on running around. You were only missing a gun. That's the only thing you were missing. And they would have been able to lock you up forever. You were just a dick about it. You're on the run, plastic surgery. They really want. And I'm pretty sure they believe you weren't doing it to try to fix the world.
No. You
know, for her, I think it's like, I wish this idiot would have taken a plea. We probably would have gave her probation or something, but she made it again, like that chick with the storming the Capitol, Jenna Ryan. You make a spectacle out of yourself when you drag it through a media, like this has just been dragged through the media for the last, everyone's been watching this for the last 12 months.
Yeah.
So the judge had to give her something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I think maybe it's fair. But, you know, the great thing is that, like, let's face it, you know, I didn't sit, this always bothers me. Like, I didn't sit through the trial. It's kind of like the thing with McDonald's where, remember the woman, this happened 30 years ago. She coffee? Got
fired. Huh? The coffee.
Yeah. The coffee. Yeah. Everybody got so offended by that, that this woman made like $3 million or $2 million. And what they didn't realize was, first of all, it does sound outrageous, but you weren't sitting in the jury box.
Right.
You didn't hear what really happened. And when you later find out,
it was brutal. It was fucking brutal.
It was brutal. There's reconstructive surgery on your.
Yeah. It wasn't like she burned her tongue and she's pissed.
And McDonald's had been repeatedly told by the, I forget, the Food and Drug Administration, lower the lower the temperature of your coffee. It does not need to be that high. And they'd had multiple lawsuits and you wouldn't do it. Okay. Well then guess what? You get fucking, then you pay $3 million.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, anybody's watching this, hit pause and Google woman that sued McDonald's for hot coffee. And it will show you, you'll see the graphic videos of like, they spilt it, giving it to her through the window, and her chest was burnt. It looked like she was lit on fire for a little bit. It is not a pretty sight.
Right. Ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Like, and there was no benefit to McDonald's to have the coffee at this temperature.
No, you can't. I mean, you can't even drink the coffee in your car. You got to wait till you get home and put ice in it.
So yeah, it just, anyway, I mean, so, you know, that's the whole thing is like, it sounded good in the media. You know, it was a great little, clickbait.
Yep.
But in the end, it was bullshit because the people that sat in that jury heard the whole evidence and they determined, fuck this company.
Yep.
They're unreasonable.
Especially they had so many warning signs before where this could have been avoided.
Yeah. And they'd also fought it so many times and won multiple lawsuits. You know, this woman was just so egregious. She actually was the first one that won.
Yep.
So it wasn't that she was, it wasn't her as much. It was against just McDonald's in general. So yeah. Oh, I have it right here. It's funny. I have it right here. Probation officer wanted 9 years. The U.S. attorney wanted 15 years and Elizabeth Holmes got 11. So when she gets to prison, first of all, can I mention one thing? You have to admit how irresponsible it is that she gets pregnant twice.
That's good. That everybody thinks, you know how common that is. And people think that's going to get you out of going to prison. It does not get you out of going to prison.
No, it's to me, that's just an extremely selfish, irresponsible thing to do.
Yep.
And so you get pregnant once, then COVID hit. So you get this huge extension on when you have to go to trial. And then you go, oh, damn it, I've already got this kid. He's growing up. I'm going to have another one. Yeah. Let me get pregnant again. So you get pregnant again, go to trial. Now they're going to let her stay out to have the baby and spend some time with the baby.
Yeah, that's a little bit. I would say that's something her money probably did buy her because they have prisons. I think it's one in Alderson. It's designed, has like a women's area where you can give birth there. It may not be Alderson. I may be incorrect on that, but there is a female women's prison in the feds. You get time to have a special area. You get some time with your kid. That's a little odd, but still, I'm telling you right now, she's not enjoying her life right now. She knows the clock is ticking and she may try to get some more extensions and file some more motions, I'm sure. Because if you look at her case, there's a million filings on there. I've never seen a docket so long. But people right now are like, oh, she's living her life. It seems like she is, but she's on borrowed time. She can't really enjoy it. It's very, very the land of the purgatory.
Right.
So listen,
Jessica Kent didn't let her get out and have a baby.
Nope. They sure didn't. They sure didn't. I think she found out she was pregnant in prison, right?
Did she?
I don't know. What a way to find out you're pregnant. Fuck. What's that? God, I keep feeling this movement around there. Oh, I'm pregnant, I guess.
So bloated. So here's the other thing. What do you think? So when she goes to prison, so when she does end up going to prison, right? Like, how do you think she gets treated?
Like royalty. I mean, she's going to go, they're recommending Bryan, Texas, which is probably where she'll go based on, you know, her, where she lives and whatnot. But even if she doesn't go there, anywhere she goes, these are all going to be for the most part, first-time nonviolent offending women that are all on somewhat of a short sentence that have all committed some sort of a definitely a nonviolent crime, whether it was a white-collar money crime or low-level drugs or theft or, you know, whatever it was. They're going to be like her, and the chances are, like when Mike, the situation, Jersey Shore, when he went to prison, he was a celebrity in prison, and he was also very humble in prison. He was helping people work out, but he didn't have to do anything. Like, there's little, as you know, in prison, you got these chores. You got to keep your area clean. You might have a job. She's going to have somebody doing all of that for her. Another inmate's going to do it for some extra commissary or whatever. But prison's probably not going to be a bad experience for her. It's going to be very similar to Martha Stewart's experience. And Martha Stewart was at the prison we just said, West Virginia, Alderson. So, you know, it's going to be very comparable to what Martha Stewart's prison sentence was like, just a little bit longer. I don't, and on the length, I think she's going to find a way to get out through CARES Act or COVID relief. I will be surprised if she spends more than a couple of years before she gets to the door through something COVID health related. It will happen.
Yeah. So the guy, Ron Wilson in Coleman ended up with 19 and a half years.
I remember him.
Yeah. And he got out after, I think it was eight or 9 years because of the First Chance Act.
Oh, yeah. First Step Act through CARES Act with COVID and everything.
Right. So he got out. I mean, I know a bunch of guys that had gotten out.
But you're not seeing as many people getting released now, because a lot of that was also because there was no vaccination readily available. So you had all these people that were at health risks for the comorbidities with, you know, being overweight and diabetes and all of these different concerns, where they thought the COVID test, I mean, the vaccine could help with that. And now they're even proving, even when you get the vaccine, you're still susceptible to getting COVID, transmitting COVID. So I don't know how they're going to view that with her in there. If she wait, especially if she goes in, is it, when's her surrender date? Is it February?
I think so. But maybe push back.
Yeah. So let's just assume right now it's the first quarter of next year. There's no signs of COVID disappearing anytime soon. It only seems to ramp up during when we get back towards like the warmer months of the year. So she'll go in during the winter time. By the time the warmer months, I would not be surprised if you don't see motions filed asking for CARES Act compassionate release to finish the remaining of her sentence on home confinement for whatever list of variant reasons they're going to give. That's definitely going to be coming down the pipe.
Doesn't she have to have served like half of her time?
No. Well, so CARES Act compassionate release is through the BOP. Prior to the First Step Act, which when Trump enacted First Step, prior to that bill being passed, anybody that tries to get compassionate release had to go through the Bureau of Prisons. And if the BOP denied you, that was ultimately when the BOP denies you, you're done. You there's nowhere else to bring it to. With the First Step Act in place, because Congress realized that almost 99% of everybody that was requesting compassionate release through the BOP, everybody was denied, no matter what the reasons. Very few people were ever approved. So Congress made it now, if you exhaust your BOP remedies, which you have to request it through the BOP, if you're denied or 30 days goes by, you can now take that motion and go back to the court, but you just have to exhaust your remedies first. So it's very, very possible that she will attempt it much before her 50% is served in the BOP. Because why wouldn't you? You know the BOP is going to deny you. And if you can make a strong case in front of your judge, and the judge, if you read some of the judge's statements, it's very clear the judge had no ill will towards her. He's giving her a sentence based on guidelines, but he went on record stating he does not think she did this out of greed. So if the attorneys are smart, right now I'm sure they pulled all the transcripts. Actually, I saw the transcripts were already ordered, which will probably be part of her appeal and all that. Going through all these transcripts, looking for any type of not favoritism, but showing some sort of love or support coming from either the prosecution or the judge towards her, they'll use that when they start rebuilding their purpose of why she should be considered for a home confinement compassionate release through the CARES Act. So will it get approved? I don't know, but they're definitely going to take a swing at it.
Okay. So I noticed that they don't really, so right now, like when the
right now, the articles that I'm reading, none of the articles that they're all like, oh, there's this much worth of loss, but there's still a second, there's a second kind of like a trial to determine what she owes investors. Like there's not a specific number right now for what she owes the investors. They're doing a second trial.
Is the right, but I, this is civil though, right? It's, is this part of the civil to determine what she owes, or is this going to be attached to her criminal?
No, this is attached to the criminal. Like okay. Right now she doesn't have a specific number. They're saying like there's hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, roughly 700 million or something like that. But there's another little sentencing or trial or whatever to determine what they believe she owes for restitution. That hasn't happened yet.
It's going to be high, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like in my case, I didn't get that prior to, like, that was something that was done.
Set in stone already.
Yeah, exactly. Like they walk in and that was back when the U.S. government could just say he owes this much money. You know, now they have to go through and like everybody you owe has to provide an affidavit. This is what I gave her. This is what she returned. This is what I'm still owed. And then they can argue about how much they think they should have earned for what she had promised them. You know, there's a whole little trial that happens now to try and determine what that number is.
Right.
So that still has to happen. They were saying that was going to happen in a few weeks.
But it's not affecting her guidelines. I mean, I think that was part of being...
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, obviously that's not affecting our guidelines, right? No. Like, because they're saying what, potential loss? Or they're going off of potential loss and not actual loss?
There's going to be an actual, I mean, because the conspiracy, the actual and intended loss could be two different numbers, but whatever the judge is going to come up with, I'm sure it's going to hopefully come down to the actual loss. I hate when you see intended loss end up being what somebody's got to pay back because, you know,
you didn't lose.
The ghost money, the ghost dope thing, all of that, to me, that's an overstep of the law. With that kind of shit was reserved for like bringing down the mafia, where you never had the man calling the shots, pulling the actual trigger. In this situation, I think intended loss would be a stretch. Actual loss is still significant. The lawsuit she had with Walgreens, I think they settled on like, what was it, 50 million or something like that is what they settled on. So I don't know where this other, I'm sure there's going to be a settlement that's going to be in everybody's favor, but it's not in her favor, obviously. No matter what amount of money is going to be, it's going to be a very large sum.
And it's not like she's ever paying it off.
You never know, bro.
$500 million?
It depends what it comes down to. And also, you know, her family, the guy she married, they might be able to come up. Maybe this is why there's no number yet. Maybe they can come up with a number that everybody agrees on. And in their thought process saying, hey, look, if you can get this paid when we come in either an appeal or when we come to try to request you to be moved to home confinement through CARES Act, if we can show that you've paid all of this off or at least made a substantial dent, it could play in your favoritism. And people will come up with whenever they think an amount of money can get them out of prison, they pay these ridiculous sums. And then when it doesn't get them out of prison, they're extra aggravated. But I would imagine she's going to find a way to come up with quite a bit through some source.
Jesus. I can't imagine. Yeah. Listen, for that kind of money, you can sit in jail. Like if you were my daughter and I was like, listen, I get to visit you.
Babe,
like,
11 years goes by real fast. Have you signed up for RDAP yet?
Dad, can you give me I am 400 million, 400 million. I can get another daughter. I can hire an actress that will pretend to be you.
I can get somebody pregnant and the kid will be like six by the time you're home. We're good.
Exactly. I'm not, that's insane. I'm not giving fucking $600 million. No.
Prison life for her is gonna be pretty chill. Even in a, you know, what was it, 100, how many months, 11 years you said,
135 months what they gave her.
So 135 times 0.85, that brings her to 135, right? 135 times,
it's 11 years and 1 month, 11 years,
114 months. She gets a little RDAP in her life. 102 months, first step. Another year, 90 months. Maybe she gets full halfway house.
A year?
She's looking at 78 months. That's not so bad. It's like a car loan. She'll be home before she knows it.
It's a car loan.
You'll still be shitting McDonald's, Elizabeth. You'll be good.
Could you? I listen. That's right. You did turn yourself in. You actually drove in and turned. Yeah. And yeah, I couldn't do it, bro.
Yeah, it was hard. I drove Shelly first, and then a month and a half later, drove myself.
Why did they give you? Why did they let her turn herself in first?
She was sentenced before me, and the judge gave her her self surrender date of August 11th, and they gave me my surrender date of September 2nd. But I didn't go until the 23rd because I got an extension.
Oh my god! And you just turned yourself. I'm.
Yeah. Hey guys, I'm here. Where's my bunk? Let me in. I can't wait to go to prison. That's how I felt. It's like, woo, part of time, club fed. Where's my tent?
Yeah, I heard you guys have where's the golf course? There's no golf course here.
Did you ever go on the compound when they were doing the over by the C unit where they had the tent, the tribal guys, they'd go in there and sit in the fucking steam room. Did you ever go in there?
No, you mean the Pretendians?
The Pretendians?
They're supposed to be Indians. They have
there was them, and also what was it? The Thor, the guys that pray to Thor and stuff.
Odin.
Yeah.
So what people don't understand is like in federal prison, like basically any religion you want, they can't stop you from something.
It's fucking insane.
And so some of these guys, like there are Indians, and to be an Indian, you just have to say I'm Indian.
You could be Jewish too.
Yeah. Or you could say I'm Jewish.
Yep.
So if you're a member
better
meat, of
better food.
Right. If you're a member of certain religions, you can get special meals, special privileges. So some of these guys, they say they're Indian. They actually have like a 60-foot by 60-foot chain linked off area.
Yeah.
Where they could go and they could smoke the peace pipe. They got like tobacco.
And some of these guys were.
No, come on. That's ridiculous. they would have special ceremonies. They had a sweat tent. A sweat tent. What do you call it? Where it was
a sauna, whatever. A sweat lodge. I don't know what you call it, but they would bring in like the hot rocks and stuff, and they burn the wood.
This makes it sound like fun. Like
they had marshmallows in there. I'm sure they did, but they did. But you know the problem is in Florida though, it's already so hot.
Oh, you.
These guys are in there, and I'm like, I can't smell good in there. Come out looking like just.
You could pass out and die.
Bears.
So they would be allowed to go in for a few hours and do things that other inmates weren't. And then, so that's like the Indians. But the thing about the Indians is nobody in that was a part of the Indians were Indians. No. Like these were all just like white guys.
Yeah.
And we used to call them the Pretendians. Oh, you remember the Pretendians? And they'd be like, yeah. And they would do like, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. They would do like little, they actually did things to keep up this persona.
But the Odinism guys, they had the same thing, but they had all these, they were all carving these little like Thor toys and Odin, and they'd have them on their bunks. And I'm like, you guys, I never even knew that was a real religion until prison.
No, they would have the hammer. They would carve little hammers and have.
Is it fair to say that was most of them also may have been a little racist?
Oh yeah. No, it was the white. Yeah, Bozziak always says he goes, it was a bunch of Aryan brotherhood guys that had special privileges. He's like, these guys were all like, they tried to get him to do it.
They tried to get me to do it. I was like, dude,
He actually went to like one meeting and they were passing around like punch or something. And they were praying to this and praying to that. And he said, I was like, yeah, listen, you guys, I can't do this.
They all had that same like very white pasty look, shaved head, horrible, just blue outline tattoos. Just it was like, why? Like, go be a better crew than this. You guys look like
you guys are better than this.
Your trailer park must have been cleaner than this. What's going on here?
And I'm Norwegian. Like, I get it. Like, they're Odinists. I mean, it's a real religion. Like, that's
it what is. I know that now.
Vikings were Odinists.
Yep.
But I mean, you've seen it. You've seen Thor. His father's Odin.
Yeah.
That's, you know, they had the hammer. They prayed to the hammer. And
our unit was right next to it. So I was always just watching. I was never once going, oh, I'm so jealous. I was always like, who the fuck did they fool? Who believes they're in there being Indians and Odin? They're in there like talking about their next escape. This is just crazy to me.
And then you've got the Jews.
Yep. A lot of them were authentic though.
A lot of them, but a lot of guys I would say.
They're Muslim. There are a lot of fake Muslims.
Yeah. I would say there's 70, 80% of the Jewish guys. were Jewish or had some kind of Jewish heritage. But the Jews made you take a test.
Yeah.
You actually had to be like approved. You had to go in and go to the rabbi and answer the questions. And then they got to order special food. They had special meal. They had a bunch of different stuff too.
Yeah, their food was pretty good, man.
Yeah, yeah. The food
and stuff, and all the meal holidays, the prayer, because a lot of them couldn't eat during certain time. The Muslim side, anyway, they couldn't eat during certain times of the day when they were doing their fasting.
Yeah.
They'd have to eat like between like 10 and 11 at night. So they get brought food at night, and I was always hungry, so I was glad to eat it.
Well, and then you've got – so you have – that was a low. We were both at a low in Coleman. And then you've got camps. Camps have even – they have typically have no fence, typically. There are ones with fences. And right. Then you've got one or two officers, maybe three officers that are supposed to be watching 300 guys that are in a separate building. So you're even more on your own. But that's where Elizabeth – like I never got to a –
I never me, nor me, but that's where she's going to go. And she's going to do whatever she's going through right now. I'm still wondering if she's in any kind of like denial, if she still thinks somehow she's not going to go, which wouldn't be unrealistic for her to feel like that right now. She might still think there's some way for her arsenal of attorneys to get her out. She's probably very frustrated that she's going. She probably did not think she was going to go, but 11 years probably sounds like the end of the world to her. And it is a long time, no matter how you look at it, but she's still so young, you know, she'll be gone 5-6 years. And if shit goes right for her with the compassionate release and COVID and all this, she might be home in 2 or 3, which will piss off a lot of people, but yeah, she's not going to be there for a very long time.
Right. But she didn't kill anybody.
Yeah. She's not, you know, I don't think she's going to go out and reoffend. And like you said, who's going to give her money again? You know, she'd have to change her name and all that stuff and go through that process. And I think she's got enough family money. I think she's just going to go live her days in the shadows if she's smart.
She could write a book about how to raise venture capital. Listen, and people would be like, oh, my God, like, you definitely have experience.
Yeah, I think her book is probably going to be how everything she did is not that different from what everybody else has done. And, you know, this should be a cautionary tale to others that are out there in the land of startup and capitals and.
Yeah. But she would have to admit in the book that what she did was wrong.
I'm sure her side of the stories, even to this day, I'm sure she believes what she was saying. I imagine if you scuffed away all of the documents and the legal mumbo jumbo, I bet there is some undertoned advisor, whatever you want to call it, that was like, yeah, we're gonna get this. And she's seeing all these claims being made that there's no proof that this works. And then she's going to she's like, you sure you're gonna be able to get this done? And like, Elizabeth, we've got it. It works. Trust me, it works. I just can't believe that. She was well aware that this thing had no possibility of working. She must have thought it was going to work more than just hope. I think.
I disagree.
Okay. you think she was that just like, fuck it, I'm just going to keep going with this lie at some point. I mean, where like it's got to spill over somewhere.
I've known, first of all, I've been caught by institutions so many times and never stopped. So that was my frame of mind was I got caught and talked my way out of it so many times and just kept going. So I know that mental, you know, stance. I also have met and spent enough time with Ponzi schemers and guys that ran, you know, business opportunity scams and pyramid schemes that, you know, to even when it's like you're running a completely fake company, raising money or selling a product that is ridiculous and it's not worth what you're saying and it doesn't perform the way you say, and you keep selling and raising money, and you did it for I've known guys who did it for a decade. Like, right. You did it for a decade. You get caught, pay them back, get caught, quash this, get caught. Like, you're doing nothing but putting out fires. And they never thought about just kind of, you know,
what happens if you can't put the fire?
Right. And I think what happens is you get to a point, like, what would her recourse have been? One day she realizes, you know what? I can't do this. It's not going to work. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go to the FBI and I'm just going to tell them what I've been doing and that I don't think I can pull it off. And I'm just going to say, what am I charged with, and plead guilty? Because that would have been a recourse to admit that she'd been lying this whole time. It's never going to work. And at that point, so she would have instead, she said, hey, here's what I'm going to do. She hoped she could pull it off someday by continuing to raise money, and someday maybe it would work. I really do think that's what it was. And I think it just was a scam. And I think it became obvious it was a scam, and she just ran with the scam. That's what I think. So, you know, she's
very possible, for sure.
I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I could be wrong. Listen, I've been wrong before.
But either way, she's got her immediate future handed down to her. And now we'll see what rich, white, and powerful looks like when it gets sent to prison, to see if she can buy her way into a shorter sentence. That's going to be the next thing. We're going to see how this plays out. If she really going to spend that much time in prison, or is she going to find a way? There hasn't been somebody that I can think of that's been such a big name, that seems so innocent and harmless, that has been a spectacle going into the prison system, where there's a lot of people that probably would like to see her do her time on home confinement. So it's going to be interesting to see how this kind of mushes through the system.
Hey, so I appreciate you guys watching about Elizabeth Holmes, and I appreciate Dan for helping me out. Appreciate it. So do me a favor, if you like the video, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell so you get notified of videos like this. Leave me a comment in the comment section. Also, I have a Patreon. I have several books for sale that I've written. I've written my memoir and several other memoirs, or several other true crime stories. Let's see. Yeah, that's it. I appreciate it. If anybody wants to talk to me, I'm on Manect. You can, my Manect link is also in the description box. And if you want to thank me for making this video, you can hit the thank you button. It's on the scroll bar, the same scroll bar as the thumbs up and the share button. You just scroll it sideways. You have the ability to thank me. You can donate like $1.99, $3.99, $49.99. There's a bunch of different options. So once again, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you guys watching, and I hope you like the video, and subscribe to the channel and share the video. Thanks a lot, and I will see you.